Well, hello. Thank you all for joining us as we continue this series on tactical warfare. We're still in part one. Last time we did the first half approximately, and now we're going to do sections B, C, and D on the same outline. So we're looking at tactical warfare, part one, in the trenches. And we want to do a quick review. The difference between strategic and tactical warfare. Strategic warfare is looking ahead. It's proactive. It's living a lifestyle to minimize the battles. And in fact, so that you can choose the battleground. We do this by living a lifestyle that's based on lifestyle habits. Strategic warfare is based on lifestyle habits. Habits of living in the fruit of the Spirit. Practicing the armor of God. Focusing on staying in the kingdom of God. Tithing, which is a tremendous weapon of warfare. Staying under grace. And doing interval USPs to stay under grace. That is dealing with your unknown sins periodically during the day. Interval unknown sins praying. Also communion. These are some of the lifestyle facets that we as ABCers have put into our life. It's not addressing any specific problem in general. It's creating a lifestyle that's focused on God, where you're spending more and more of a significant part of your day in the things of God. And so when you do that, you get to choose your battleground, and you choose the battleground when you choose to go from level to level, when you choose to go to a higher level in the Lord. Then a battle will ensue. It's proactive. Tactical warfare is based on responding to the devil. So in tactical warfare, the devil has already initiated the battle, has already chosen the battleground, and you're merely responding to it. Now the key in tactical warfare are the habits that you have implanted in your heart. Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And we are fond of thinking of that as the word that we have in our heart. The word that we have in our heart, that's who we actually are. For the word in our heart, when we have to respond in a hurry, in a self reflex kind of a manner, subconsciously, unconsciously, rapidly. It's the one that comes out of our heart. It's not the word in our mind that comes out, it's the word in our heart. It's whatever is in our heart. Hopefully, we've put so much of the word in our heart that the word comes out. But really, as you look at it from the point of view of tactical warfare, what you're trying to put into your heart, and it's not just the word of God. It's a habit, your own habit, based on the word of God. That you have practiced this so many times, that's now become a part of you. You may know, for example, that Mark 11:24 says, whatever you desire when you pray, believe you have it, and you shall have it. And you may have even used it in affirmations. As in your faith action plan. But it's not having it in your mind that deposits it in your heart. It's the usage of it. And it's not using it one time. You may have believed you're healed by the stripes of Jesus, 1 Peter 2:24. And you may have done many affirmations in 1 Peter 2:24. But what puts that into your heart as a habit is the behavioral pattern that every time the devil attacks you with a challenge, with a pain, with a sickness, with a disease, with an infirmity, your response is always the same. The habit of coming back to the Word of God and speaking out that affirmation. It's very important to get those habits implanted in our heart. Because in trench warfare, when the devil attacks in a very personal, down-to-earth manner, in a rapid manner, you do not have the time to go review which scriptures do I know and which one I'm going to use here. And you don't even have the luxury of thinking about how to do an affirmation or use a prayer of authority. You have to have had so much practice with it that the habit is implanted in your heart. A demonic thought hits you, you cast it down, you bind the demon, and you cast it out. Automatically, without thinking. A pain hits your shoulder, by the strap of Jesus, my shoulder has been healed. Automatically, without thinking. Because in the warfare, you don't have time to think, and the reflex action will take over, and what will come out is what's in your heart. The habits in your heart. So it's not enough to be doing strategic warfare, have this lifestyle where you have your morning prayers and your evening prayers, and you're doing these strategic things. But in the middle of the day, as you're working, traveling around, when the challenges hit you, you think, well, what do I do now? Do I go get some aspirin? Do I call the doctor? These reflexes have to be in your heart, that every single time the devil hits you, there's a habit that's triggered. So again, strategic warfare is a lifestyle. Tactical warfare is using the habits that you've planted in your heart. Examine yourself. What godly habits are in your heart that always elicits the Word of God when the particular stimulus, particular challenge arises? Now, these habits are implanted in your heart through experience. And we call this your fortress of experience. The more you practice these habits, the more you have experiences, the more you give healing, is the more healing will come back to you. It's a habit. The more you think healing, the more you're praying for people, the more you're addressing every aspect of your life that requires healing with the Word of God and the thoughts of God. These are the ways you develop that experience. That's why James chapter 1, verse 2 through 4 says, count it all joy when you fall into different types of temptations. Why is that? Because it's the ability, it's the time, the opportunity to build those habits in your heart. Here comes a challenge. Whoa, I get another time to practice. It's like taking science. If you take any course in science, you can get an A in the theory, but if you've not done the lab work, you will fail the course. You must be able to do the lab work. It's like taking mathematics, any mathematics. You may understand the theory, but if you don't do the homework to get the practice, you're not going to get a good grade. You must do the homework to get the practice. You must do the activity to get the habits implanted in your heart, or you will fail at tactical warfare. Tactical warfare is not simply saying, well, the things I do for strategic warfare, the things I do for my lifestyle, I now apply them here in the trenches. No, it has to come from the experience of overcoming challenges of different types, from the experience of ministering healing, of giving healing, and of practicing it day in and day out. You must practice healing. the Word of God. You cannot just have the theory of reading it and think you're going to be successful in the trenches in tactical warfare. James 1, verse 2. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. For the trying of your faith produces patience. Patience is part of the power twins. If you have faith and patience, you'll overcome every challenge. But the faith is coming from the heart. The faith is coming from the habits of using the Word of God, which you've implanted in your heart, by practicing them over and over. If you have not been practicing healing on a regular basis for the small things and the big things and praying for your friends and your family, then when a big challenge comes, you will have built your house up on sand, not up on rock. Jesus says, if you build your house on sand, when the storms come, you will fall. The house will fall. You will fail. The challenges will come. The storms will come. And your house must be built up on the rock of the Word. And you build your house up on the rock of the Word by practicing and developing those habits so they're automatic. Soldiers practice taking their weapons apart and putting them back together in the dark. Not just that they can do it or they understand the theory, but they must be able to do it fast. If you want an A in a college class, you must be able to not just do it, not just understand it, but do it fast, rapid. It's the same thing with spiritual things, but even more so. You must be practicing these things every day. Your lifestyle must involve not just the strategic morning and evening prayers, but the practice during the day. So you count it all joy when the challenges come. For the trying of your faith produces patience. So let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect, lacking nothing. Perfect because the habits are in your heart. Romans 5, 3 and 4 puts it this way. Glory in your tribulations. Glory in the persecutions. For the tribulations produce patience. And patience produces experience. Experience. Experience is, will plant those habits in your heart. Patience produces experience. And experience hope. Experience hope. Experience produces hope. The confident expectation of success, of victory. The confident expectation of victory. Your hope comes from experience. Experience produces patience. And patience produces hope. So your hope, your confident expectation of victory is based on how much experience have you had with the challenge. How many times have you overcome it? David had a confident expectation of defeating Goliath because he says, I killed a bear and a lion. He was planting those habits in his heart. He and God killed the lion. He and God killed the bear. He and God were going to kill Goliath. That's what you need in your heart. The experience to plant in your heart, the habit of knowing you're an overcomer. The fortress of experience. But the fortress of experience always goes back. From your very first experience all the way through, it will go back to a foundation. The rock bed of your foundation is what you believe. What do you truly believe? That means what you truly believe in your heart. Not what you truly believe in your mind. What do you truly believe in your heart? And believers, in general, have some things they truly believe in their heart that are very powerful. One is Mark 11:22. They believe in God. They trust in God. at a higher level. It says have the God-like kind of faith. But they trust God. They believe in God. Believers, by definition, believe in Jesus. And John 12, 44 says, Jesus says, if you believe in me, you believe in the Father who sent me. We believe that. We believe in Jesus. We believe in the Father. We believe in the Holy Spirit. We believe Jesus says, Mark 9:23, if you can believe, all things are possible. Now in the heat of the battle, when you're in the trenches and you feel overwhelmed and everything is failing and you're going from one failure to another and things are getting worse. And here's this challenge. You say, how am I going to overcome it? It's a big one. It's a Goliath. You go back to the scriptures. And just Mark 9:23 says, if I can believe, all things are possible. And it's in the Bible. I may have trouble believing that, but I have no trouble believing the Bible is the Word of God. John 8:31-32 says, if you continue in the Word, then are you my disciple, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. If you continue in the Word. Continue in the Word means don't give up when the challenges come. Come back with the Word. Practice the Word every chance you get, but when the challenges come, that's the time to hang on to it. Hang on to the part of the Word that has been ingrained in your heart. Hang on to the part of the Word for which you have believed it, said it, and done it so many times, it's a habit in your heart. Go back to the foundation, to the rock bed. Ask yourself, in my first 10 years, probably, of being a believer, this is the process I went through. I faced impossible situation after impossible situation over and over and over. And in the early days, I didn't know very much. But I did know. I'd go back and I'd say, well, do I believe in God? Yeah. Could anything happen to cause me to stop believing in God? The answer is no. Not a doubt. I'll never stop believing in God. How about Jesus? Yeah. Within a short time, I believe in Jesus. Nothing could get me to stop believing that Jesus is the Son of God. That's my rock bed. Do I believe in the Holy Spirit? Yeah, within not very long, I came to believe in the Holy Spirit. Will I ever stop believing in the Holy Spirit? Absolutely not. Do I believe the Word of God? That the Bible is the Word of God? Absolutely. And so all of you do. No, I have believed the Bible is the Word of God, that God keeps His Word, to the point where many times my life has been risked, whether I live or die, depend on the fact that the Word of God is true. I was standing on the Word. If it's not true, I was going to die. I got the practice over and over and over again over the years. That's what you need. The practice of going back to your rock bed and saying, what do I believe? And start from there. You may have a difficult time believing a particular promise. You know, somebody, for example, let's pick an example. Somebody may have had an accident. And the doctor says, the person's back is broken. You never walk again. And the poor person is sitting there thinking, I've always been a strong believer. I know I'm being told my back is broken and that this person would never walk again. And to believe otherwise is to overcome what the body is yelling at him. That he can't move it, he has no feeling. And what the doctor is saying is can never change. He has to overcome that. And his faith may not be great enough. He may have the faith to believe, I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. But his faith may not be strong enough to use that facing these circumstances. Back up. Well, do you believe the Bible? Of course you believe the Bible. And the Bible says that. So maybe you can't believe Mark 11:24 by yourself, but believe it because it's part of the Bible. The Bible is true. And so you work back to a point where you can actually say the words Maybe even do just one affirmation. Sometime when the battle is so heated, doing one affirmation is a major achievement. In the trenches, the battle often gets down to, can you force yourself to eat? When your body is saying it doesn't want to eat. When your body is saying, every time I take a mouthful, I feel like vomiting. And you force yourself to eat because that's where the battle is. That's where the warfare is. That's where the challenge is. That's trench warfare. Very personal and up close. And very often, the circumstances seem overwhelming. And the devil is bombarding you. Mentally, emotionally, physically, pain, discomfort, doubt, unbelief. Everything is being thrown at you. You gotta learn to go back to what is my foundational belief. What do I believe that I will never budge from it? And then move forward, little by little. Getting out the one affirmation. Taking a morsel of food and swallowing it down. Getting up off of bed to just stand up as your first step of faith. Taking a step away from the chair, from the wheelchair, or standing up in the wheelchair. Something is so small you can do it, but it's a step in the right direction. It's a step to say, I believe the Bible. And I believe what Jesus said, if I believe in him, the works that he did, I shall do, and greater works. John 14:12. You shall do greater works. These wonderful promises of God that you can do. But sometimes you got to go back to the rock bed. What do you actually believe? What will you believe regardless of what happens to the world or you? And work your way forward. If you can get into the habit of going back to the rock bed of your salvation, going back to the anchors of your soul, then you can move to the point of winning the high ground. Winning the high ground. In warfare, he who controls the high ground is most likely to win. And the high ground in spiritual warfare is your mind. Is your mind. Understand how important and powerful your body and your words are. That Jesus, God, had to come in the flesh. God had to come in the flesh to get a body. To get a body so Jesus could speak the words that would move him to be in the Lamb of God and to save us and to be resurrected. He had to get a body. That's how powerful your body is. That's how powerful the words in your body are. Your body gives you the authority to be on earth. Your body gives you the authority to tap into the authority and dominion that God has given to mankind. And you tap into it with the words of your mouth. Your body is super important. Who controls the mind controls the body. Who controls the mind and the body controls what comes out the mouth. So the high ground is the mind. Not because the mind is what is wanted. What is wanted is control of this body and this word coming out of the body. You must control the high ground of the mind. And you do that by starting strategically. Romans 12 verse 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. You must renew your mind. Once your mind is renewed in a certain area, you are then ready for tactical warfare in that area. Until you're ready in an area, it's renewing your mind is a strategic process that most believers do by reading the Bible and studying the Bible. But reading the Bible is not simply for entertainment and to pass the time. Reading the Bible is to renew your mind so you can act on it and develop tactical habits in your heart. Reading the Bible is not just so you can understand the Bible. It's to tell you what the promises are so you can practice them and get habits in your heart for those promises. So we renew our mind to the Bible. Once our mind is renewed to the Bible, then we are getting ready in that era for tactical warfare. The first step in that tactical warfare then is when the thought comes, when a thought comes, when an attack comes in the body or in the mind, you need to take the armor of God, which you've been practicing as a lifestyle, and apply it tactically. Primarily here, we're talking about the shield of faith. A thought comes to your mind. What do you do with the thought? First thing, you have to evaluate it. Is it consistent with the Word of God? If the answer is no, then you get rid of it by casting it down. That process of checking it against the Word of God is the process of taking the shield of faith and putting it over yourself. Your faith is in the Word of God. Your faith is that this part of your mind is renewed to the Word of God. If it has been renewed to the Word of God, if you've been practicing it, then the habit for that promise is already in your heart. If your mind is renewed to a certain area, but you haven't practiced it, then you can try it, but you're going to have a difficult time winning because you're not powering it, not with the shield of faith, you're powering it with the shield of mental ascent. Mental ascent is power coming from the mind, mind understanding. But the shield of faith is meant to come from heart faith, believing in your heart. You can only believe the word that's in your mind. You can only believe the word that's been engrafted in your mind, that's been renewed in your mind. You can only believe the renewed word in your mind if that renewed word in your mind has been engrafted in your heart. It can only be engrafted in your heart if you take the word in your mind and you've been practicing it and using it and acting on it and speaking it. And speaking for a while can be considered action, but after a while, it must have other action besides speaking. To engraft it in your heart. What does engrafting in your heart mean? It's become a habit. It is a tactical warfare habit in your heart. It's a habit in your heart. And as you think in your heart, so are you. As you think in your heart, you trigger this habit. And you respond by reflex. You are going to have habits. You have habits. You're going to respond by reflexes. That's the way people are triggered and built. That's the way the system works. Your mind can be renewed to anything. It can be renewed to sin. And sin engrafted into your heart. And as soon as the signal for that sin shows up on the TV, whoops, you're acting on it. Your body's acting on it. Well, we need to renew it to the Word of God and plant it in our heart as a habit. So as soon as the challenge comes in, we react. An example is we are all at different points in time exposed to offenses generated by other people. The Word of God said you shouldn't be taking offense. You should love them and forgive them. You may have that in your mind. You may even have been saying, okay, yes, Lord, this person did that. In Jesus' name, I forgive them and I bless them. Wonderful. Is that coming from your heart or your mind? If it's coming from your mind, then you're using the shield of mental ascent. But if it's coming from your heart, you're using the shield of faith. Now, if you're using the shield of faith and you're saying, from my heart, I forgive them, you know, you can say, I forgive them from my heart, even when it's not coming from your heart. In the beginning, it's okay. But eventually, it must come from your heart. In the name of Jesus, I forgive them from my heart. Why is that? Because I'm putting up the shield of faith over my mind, over me. But if it's coming from your heart, then there must be behavior that go with it. If you're forgiving them from your heart, then what's all this garbage about thinking about it? What about all these videos that are coming back and the memories? If it's coming from your heart, those things will leave. They will leave. and you practice it long enough and do it from your heart, and every time the video comes back, you say, hey, I have forgiven this person already from my heart. That's got to be the voice of the enemy. And you go after the memory, the video, as a temptation of the devil to get you to sin. You don't go after it as, oh, this was my response. This is the way I felt then. This is the way I feel now. No. You have by faith forgiven them from your heart. So in your heart, you're building the habit that says, if it comes back, it ain't mine. It ain't mine because I forgive them. It ain't mine because I have the mind of Christ, and that garbage is in my mind. It ain't my feeling because I forgive them. So it must be the voice of an enemy. And you use the shield of faith to recognize it as the voice of the enemy. That bad memory, that voice, the voice is talking to me. The woulda, shoulda, coulda approach. The feeling I get when I think of the person. All those are attacks of the enemy. And so you cast down all these attacks. Cast down every imagination. Cast on every imagination that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring every thought into captivity of Christ Jesus. So you renew your mind to the Word of God, and you use to practice it to put the habits in your heart. You must get the habits in your heart. Because if the habits are not in your heart, you're not walking and protecting yourself with the shield of faith. You're using the shield of mental assent. If it's coming from your heart, then once you forgive the person, a few times you might have to cast on the imagination, cast on the feeling, cast on the memory, cast on the woulda, shoulda, coulda demons. But within a short time, they will stop coming back because you're doing it from your heart. It must take actions. So how do you deal with a thought that comes towards the unrenewed part of your mind? You have a thought, let's say your mind has been renewed to healing. And you've been practicing it, and you're doing pretty good with healing. You have gotten over a number of challenges without any medicine or doctors. And you're making progress. And the thought suddenly hits your mind from a different area. The thought is, wow, end of the month is coming up. I don't have enough money for my rent or for my mortgage. And it starts just beating you. Well, your mind has not been renewed to that. You may know the scripture. My God supplies all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You may have even affirmed it. But the fact that it's beating you is telling you your mind is not renewed in that area. If your mind was renewed in that area, if you had acted on it a few times, then automatically out of your heart would rise up that shield of faith. And the shield of faith would say, no, my God loves me. My God supplies my need. Jesus Christ was rich, became poor, that I through his poverty might be made rich. And you'd hit him with the word of God, and you'd cast down the thought. Because you'd be using the shield of faith. When it hits the part of your mind so overwhelmingly in tactical warfare, so personal, so up close, then you may have to go back to your core beliefs, your bedrock of your fortress, and say, what do I really truly believe? Do I really believe in God? Yes. Do I really believe in Jesus? Yes. Do I believe in the Holy Spirit? Yes. Do I believe in the Word? Yes. Do I believe what the Word says about finances? Yes. What does the Word say about finances? It says God will supply my need. But he's not supplying it. So could you be doing something wrong? What else does it say about that? It says that if you're not tithing, there's a curse on you. A curse on you. Maybe it's a curse that's along the demons to come into your area and steal your finances and hit you so hard. But you go back to the bedrock. And you say, well, how can I deal with that now? Well, you can deal with it because you have not been tithing. You can deal with it by saying, well, I'm going to start tithing. I make a commitment to start tithing with my very next paycheck. In the meantime, I say, that's a sin. I confess it as a sin or a mistake. And God cleanses me because the Bible says that. I can believe that. So the sin is gone. I'm committed to tithing. And then you come back to the warfare and you give the devil what for? What for? When you cast on the imagination, you bind up the demon, the devil, the evil spirit, cast them out of your life, out of the country, cast them wherever you've been taught to go. There are many places to cast them. And as you go through ABC, starting with Bible school, healing school, school of dominion, graduate school, all the way up, the different places we teach you as you go up where to cast them. The highest level that you're taught is in graduate school, semester 3. So when you get there, you learn the highest level. Why do we teach it there? Because it's very powerful, but also because it's very powerful, you can get some serious attacks. You must know how to handle them. We don't want you to be attacked beyond the level that which you're able to handle. So, you take the higher place by renewing your mind and practicing it so that the habit of living on that renewed knowledge becomes a habit in your heart. The experience builds the habit in your heart. Then you cast on the demons and you have a readiness for revenge. That's what it says after you've cast on the imagination. You have a readiness to get revenge. You go after the demons and get even with them. You make them pay for attacking you. They are like bullies. And when they get hit back hard, eventually they get afraid of you and not come around as much. And when they come around, they send a fiery dart and they run. But you know what? No matter where they run, you can go after them with your words. So, if you're willing to go back to the bedrock of your fortune, the bedrock of the fortress of your experience. You have an experience. Based on your experience of what you practice and what you believe, there's a bedrock. It's based on belief. If you go back to that bedrock, you can move forward to believe the promise and to cast down the demons that are attacking you in that area of your mind, which has just been renewed and has not yet become a habit in your heart. You cast them down. In that process, you will little by little, take control of the high place, which is really your mind. Now you can keep that control and you can eventually have success taking your mind. If you remember, you have the mind of Christ. The goal is to have everything be treated that comes to you. The question is, not simply what would Jesus do? We all know that. I'm sure we all do that and check that one way or another. It's what's in the mind of Christ? Does that belong in the mind of Christ? If it doesn't, cast it down. So we can move towards that. We can achieve a lot of success and get better and better. But we need to continue taking our medicine. Taking our medicine. What do you mean by taking your medicine? Proverbs 4:22 says, the word of God is life to those that find it, and health, medicine to their flesh. So the word of God is life. The word of God is life to those who find it. Not long life, life. And the next verse, 23, says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows all the issues of life. Well, how do you guard your heart with all diligence? One is you make sure that nothing gets in your mind that contradicts the word of God. Nothing gets in your mind that does not belong in the mind of Christ. But the next step is then you act on the word in your mind and practice it and make it habit. Make it a habit because it's the habit in your heart that's going to protect your heart. And when you have godly habits in your heart, then out of your heart flows all the issues of life. One of which is life. Living and not dying. Living until Jesus returns. Life. Life will flow out of you. Life will flow out of you. Do you remember Elisha? With the Shunammite woman, when her son died, he went in and laid himself on the sun. What was he doing? He was letting the life in him flow into the Son. He was letting the life in him flow into the Son. You're full of the life of God. And generally, that life flows out through your words. When you speak godly words, life is flowing out through your words. So, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows all the issues of life. And some of the words, of course, that you should probably just have in your heart and taking your medicine is, study the word, renew your mind with it, make it a habit in your heart, and speak it. Some of the wonderful things you want to focus on. And Jesus says in Mark 9:23, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believe. If you can believe, all things are possible. John 14:12, he that believes in me, the works that I do, shall he do, and greater works, because I go to my Father. And then James 3:2-8, your tongue guides your body. James 3:2-8, your tongue guides your body the way a rudder guides a ship. Your tongue guides your body the way the bit guides a horse. Your tongue guides your body. Therefore, you want godly habits in your heart, so you speak godly words to guide your body in the right direction. When you're in the trenches, is not the time to start building godly habits in your heart. That's the time when the floods have come and you're built on sand. You must build godly habits in your heart, so godly habits respond to ungodly impulses. Some words about the power of your words in building godly habits. Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of your tongue. That's Proverbs 18:21. Joshua 1:8. Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. How will it not depart out of your mouth? When you have built godly habits in your heart using it. If you memorize it and say it over and over, it will be in your mind. But when the time comes to raise the shield of faith, you'll end up raising the shield of mental ascent. You must get it from the renewed mind into your heart by practicing it and using it. Practicing and using it. Practicing and using it. Practicing and using it. You've all gone to school. You know you can't pass the test if you don't practice it. Practice and use it. Mark 11:23, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in your heart, but believe that what you say shall come to pass, you'll have what you say. That's a lifestyle. That's a lifestyle scripture, a strategic scripture, combined with a tactical scripture. It's strategic because it's saying that if your lifestyle is such that you believe that everything you say comes to pass, if that's your lifestyle, if that's your strategic lifestyle, if that's your strategic plan, if you believe, if you want that every word you say comes to pass, if that's a desire in your heart, if that's what you're practicing, that every word you say comes to pass, and you can check very easily if that's true by looking at your words. People say, hey, drop dead. Nobody who has a lifestyle believing that every word that say will come to pass would ever say something like that. Or that's to die for. Most of the common slang expressions do not correspond to a lifestyle believing that you want everything you say to come to pass. But if your lifestyle is strategic, that you're planning that everything you say comes to pass, if that's what you're believing for, then when you tactically say, mountain move, it will move. So if the strategy is built in, if the habits are built in from the strategy, then when a mountain of a challenge comes and you say, challenge go, it will go. If the lifestyle is built on that every word you say comes to pass. Romans 4:17, you call things that be not as though they are. Start with simple things. You want to go for a walk and it looks like it's going to rain. Hey, call in sunshine. My gosh, I mean, here's an area where you can practice almost every day without any major downside. Instead of picking up the umbrella, walk outside without the umbrella. You might get wet until you get used to it, but after a while, you won't need an umbrella. Parking spots. Every time you go drive out, ask for the best parking spot or a parking spot right in front of where you're going. Why? To practice it, to get it in your heart, to see that prayer is answered. Yeah, maybe you don't care about walking. Maybe you can pay for the best parking spot. Don't do that. Practice it. Look for opportunities to practice the Word of God to develop tactical habits in your heart. That's the way you're going to survive. Don't rely on your money. That's why the scripture says, "How hard shall a rich man enter the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God?" Because they rely on the money. Just because I have money doesn't mean I spend it. I would rather God give me something than buy it. I'd rather God give me something that I need, like a parking spot, for example, and give away the money. Mark 16:20. That when the word of God is spoken, the Holy Spirit confirms it. When the word of God is spoken, the Holy Spirit confirms it. People of God should only be speaking godly words because the Holy Spirit wants to confirm it. Now, if you speak ungodly word, who do you think is going to confirm it? And that's called curses. You speak ungodly word, the devil is very happy to confirm it. That's what you call warfare. You got a choice. Would you rather have the Holy Spirit confirming your words that are godly, or the demons confirming the ungodly words that you're speaking? Simple choice. Psalm 103 verse 20. The angels of God wait for you to speak godly words. I'm abbreviating it. They wait for you to speak godly words. When they do, then they can help you. They are spirits sent to minister, to serve us, the heirs of salvation. And we close with Luke 17:6. If you have faith as a mustard seed, Jesus has given all of us the measure of faith. Best as I can tell, that's it. We all got the same measure of faith. The question is, what do you do with it? It's not a question of building more faith. It's a question of using your faith most. Let me rephrase that. It's not a question of getting more faith. It's like you have muscles. Everybody starts life with the same number of muscles. You can't ask for more muscles. You want to build your muscles, then you exercise them. And the muscles get bigger and bigger. You don't ask for more muscles. You've been given the measure of faith. You want to have more faith, then you practice it. How do you practice it? You practice it until those promises, that part of your renewed mind, has become habits in your heart. Habits in your heart. Habits in your heart. Habits in your heart. Develop godly habits in your heart so you can respond automatically without thinking, reflexively. Many, many Christians, if something terrible instantly happens, they will instantly break into prayer, into tongues, instantly break into tongues, or say Jesus, or in the name of Jesus. Or, as one person I know is fond of doing, "Stop, Satan!" You need those godly habits in your heart. Strategic warfare is a lifestyle. You set up a godly lifestyle which minimizes challenges. Tactical warfare is developing godly habits in your heart to control your reflex action, so that when the storms come, you're not finding your house built on sand, it's built on rock, because these habits are in your heart. When anything happens, check yourself tomorrow. Anything happens, good or bad, see what your response wants to be. Somebody insults you, what's the response? Do you want to deck them? Or do you want to say, "I forgive you in the name of Jesus"? The response, not what happens when you have time to think about it. Because in the trenches, you ain't got time to think about it. In the trenches, it's reflex, it's reflex, it's automatic. And if when the challenges come, it's not in your heart of the reflex, you will fail. Check yourself tomorrow. Next time something bad happens, see what your first reaction is. If your first reaction is to give in to doubt, unbelief, fear, or offense, you got a way to go to build the habits in your heart. If the very first response is the Word of God, tongues, Jesus, I love the person, then you're on the right track. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Apostle Joshua. Woo! Good teaching. Boy, he was on fire tonight, wasn't he? That Word of God just flowed through him just like a raging river going into each and every one of our hearts and minds, hopefully, that we received it as he gave it out. As I was taking notes, there was one sentence that really stood out to me. I circled it in red and put a few red asterisks next to it. Look for opportunities to practice the Word of God. I thought that was very, very powerful. And that's like an assignment for each one of us. We should always be doing that, that we're so familiar with the Word of God and we know what it says to do, and the examples he gave are good ones, but we can add to it. We can think of other ones too that relate to our personal lives. Look for opportunities to practice the Word of God. The more we know it, the better we know it, the more we practice it, the more it becomes ingrained in us. And as it's ingrained, that's where the forming of a habit begins. It's that reflex action that it's so automatic, we don't even have to think about it. It just comes out. It just gets done. Those guns that the military people are taking apart and putting back together in the dark. They're doing it in the dark because they don't have to see. They know, they feel, they have the habit. They know exactly what they're doing because they have practiced it over and over again, starting off with practicing it in the light so they see what they're doing, so they see what the parts are. And then they go step by step to where they can do it in the dark with their eyes closed. And you know what? When they're in the trenches, that will be very valuable experience for them. Praise God. So, look for opportunities to practice the Word of God. With that, let's go into communion. And let's take a moment to either forgive sins, or hopefully at this point you're okay with that. But we do want to deal with the unknown sins. So let's take a moment. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word. We are so grateful and so blessed to have your word in writing, that we can read, that we can learn, that we can see and know the things that you want us to. We thank you that the word tells us that on that night in which Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread, he blessed it, he broke it, he said, take and eat this. This is my body, which is broken for you. He didn't do that for himself. He did it for you and for me. And we thank you, Jesus. We know that by the stripes of Jesus, we have been healed. We are the healed of the Lord, and we boldly say so and receive what is due us because Jesus has paid that price and it belongs to us. And we take it now as we partake of the broken body of Jesus. We receive healing and wholeness for our bodies. Thank you, Jesus. And after the supper on that same night, Jesus took the cup, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you for remission from sins." There it is again. I'm shed for you. And he wasn't just speaking to his 12 disciples that were in front of him, but John chapter 17 says that he looked ahead to all those that would be disciples in the future. And so he was looking ahead and he saw us, and he was saying this very personally, one-on-one to us. "This is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you." Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your precious blood. It is so powerful. Has sealed the old covenant, established the new covenant, washed away all of our sins. And if the sins are gone, that there's no wages of sin, they're gone too. So powerful, Lord. And through your blood, the life is in the blood. And through your blood, we receive more of your life floods us, that goes to every cell of our bodies, every fiber of our being, every organ, every system, every function, and brings us life. Life everlasting, powerful Zoe life. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your life in us. We give you praise, we give you glory, and we choose to live our lives for you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you.